Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Glory America, bonjour, hi Canada, I'm Hugh Hewitt, good Thursday morning to you. Still Mid-Coast Maine for, I'm going back to the Beltway next week. I have got so much news in the news wheel before me. I have 15 stories organized in 7 silos. And I got cuts galore. My stack of stuff, to quote the immortal Rush, is quite simply overwhelming. I ought to be talking about just 2 stories. The International Atomic Energy Agency yesterday said they cannot assure... That's the UN watchdog for these matters. They cannot assure and guarantee the peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear program. That is very bad news for the world. The United States should not be negotiating with this radical terrorist regime in Vienna, but we are, through the Russians of all people. So I could spend an entire show on that. I ought to be covering, and I will cover some, of Liz Truss' first day as prime minister. There is a wonderful colloquy between Prime Minister Liz Truss and former Prime Minister Theresa May about why women prime ministers are only Tories. Of course, they began with Maggie Thatcher. Let's just play that now. Cut number one.
Theresa May.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May I congratulate my right honourable friend and welcome her to her position as the third female prime minister of the United Kingdom. Can I ask my right honourable friend, why does she think it is that all 3 female prime ministers have been Conservative?
Honourable friend for her fantastic question. I look forward to calling on her advice from her time in office as I start my work as Prime Minister. It is quite extraordinary, isn't it, that there doesn't seem to be the ability in the Labour Party to find a female leader, or indeed a leader who doesn't come from North London.
All right, let me bring it. That's just a killer dart to Keir Starmer, if you know anything about British politics. I should spend more time on the serious stuff. I'll come back to it. The Fed is going to raise interest rates another 3/4 points. I could spend an entire show on that. All right, so those are all very serious shows. Now, in the nice news story silo, you know, stuff to talk about. The official portraits of President and First Lady Obama were unveiled at the White House yesterday. They're gorgeous. They always are. They will decorate the White House halls forever. And it's always, there's nothing like a John Kennedy with his head bowed. But they are all fabulous portraits. And these two, I could talk about that on a normal day. I'm very concerned about the subject matter of a Washington Post story. As sports betting goes mainstream, addiction experts are on high alert. Of course, sports betting being made legal is going to turn thousands of people with gambling problems into tens of thousands of people with even worse gambling problems, and probably more. I could spend a whole show on that. Europe says Putin's gas power is weakening. That's a national security story for the world, because Putin announced yesterday he's planning on going to Xi Jinping as the alliance of evil gets stronger. Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. There's a lot of good business news. Shareholders are standing up against ESG at Chevron. Apple's i14 is coming out. Not that I really need a new phone, but this one's been broken for so long that maybe I will. You drop a phone and, you know, if you're like me, you put up with the cracks forever, right? America, you don't run out. Who goes to the Apple store to change the case when you can read it if you just tilt it a certain way? There's a lot of political news. John Fetterman says he will, quote, debate Oz ahead of Pennsylvania Senate election. He's not going to do that until people have been voting for 4 weeks, 3 weeks maybe. John Fetterman is not prepared to debate Dr. Oz because he's disabled by a stroke. Pray for his recovery, but also pray for transparency and for the people of Pennsylvania to understand what a disaster he would be. There is another in the endless series of leaky stories and anti-Trump stories, law stories in the media. Finding special master in Trump classified documents case, no easy task, legal experts say. Okay, so whenever I see legal experts, it's the people they called up. All right. Who they called up. Finding people who have the necessary experience and security clearances to handle the highly classified documents and the willingness to enter the political brush fire surrounding the probe will be no small task, legal experts said. That's just nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. The number of people inside the Beltway who are very good lawyers and have ongoing clearances for a variety of reasons, whether they are working on classified defense programs, whether they are defending people in espionage cases and have done so before, whether they are involved in surveillance cases. Just remember, we have all sorts of lawyers in America, and there are a bunch of them that have security clearances and wouldn't blink at being a special master. There is never any trouble finding independent counsel, special counsels. Robert Mueller will come out of retirement. Everybody loves these jobs. Someone will be a special master. Not the end of the world. DOJ is leaking like the Titanic after the second iceberg. There wasn't a second iceberg. So you know what that means? I've never seen it before in my life. It leaked this way. The biggest political story of the day is at Politico, and it's mislabeled. It's labeled the Biden-CNN rift. It's not about Biden and CNN. Buried lead. Buried lead, because deep in the story, and you got to read deep in the story if you're going to read a Politico story because they're so left wing, you find out that the White House is at odds with itself over the president's disastrous speech last week. You have to go way down to find out what the red setting speech did. And what the red setting speech did was turn the White House against itself. All right. So if you go over to my Twitter feed and you I tweeted out the key line and you won't find it in the story for a long, long time. The key line in the story is the one that reveals what is actually going on at the White House. It's divided. They are assigning blame over the disaster that was Joe Biden's speech. Fingers are being pointed. Add in blame for the semi-fascist and the student loan bailout, and it's ugly in the White House. Here's the quote. Even some White House staff acknowledge that they erred in certain components of Biden's speech. Two other people with knowledge of the mood inside the building said some staff were flabbergasted by the advance team's work. Well, the writing is what I mean, calling people fascist. So Fetterman isn't debating and the media is not telling you why. The media has a line under the inside collapse of the White House. They're not covering that. And they're trying to pump up. Look, Politico, I got some friends there, but they're left wing and they're trying to pump a so-called CNN White House divide to get people, half dozen people who watch CNN to not watch it. The left is upset with CNN because they're becoming less lefty. Not really. They've let go three people, as far as I can tell, Jeff Toobin, Brian Stelter and John Harwood. And they're all hard liberals, hard, almost lefties. And they're good, fine personalities on TV. They do their jobs very well, but they're all lefties. And there's no, like, I'm a Republican. People know that. They're all Democrats. They won't admit it. But CNN is trying to clean up its act. So the White House is pushing back, trying to work the story. That's not the story. The story is that they're having to work the story over the disaster of the red setting speech. Then there is truly one of the most outrageous and tragic stories I've ever read. I think it's unprecedented. Las Vegas Review-Journal reporter Jeff German was murdered outside of his home last week. No one had any idea what this was. All right, my suspicions are always to go back to the talk show host in Denver who was murdered by a nut that he didn't know. So I was saying, okay, somebody is just a nut. It's no. It's an elected official, a fellow named Tellez. The arrest of Robert Tellez is once an enormous relief and an outrage for the Review-Journal newsroom. Tellez is in custody. A colleague appears to have been killed for reporting on an elected official, according to the executive editor of the paper, Glenn Cook. Journalists can't do the important work our communities require if they are afraid a presentation of facts could lead to violent retribution. We thank Las Vegas police for the urgency in recognizing the terrible significance of Jeff's killing. Now, hopefully, the Review-Journal, the German family, and Jeff's many friends can begin the process of mourning and honoring a great man and a brave reporter. I don't believe it. By the way, the reporter was 69 years old. The killer was a 45-year-old Democrat, and he's accused of various malfeasances, and I don't really care what they are. You don't kill a reporter because they're covering you with a bad story. My gosh, if that was the case, there'd be a trail of tears leading up to the Hugh Hewitt studios because lots of people are mean to me. And, you know, lots of people are mean to Joe Biden every day, and lots of people are mean to Donald. In America, we do not kill journalists. That's a Putin move. And so it is both a national story, but it's so bizarre and outrageous. So I got so much to do. What am I going to do? I'm going to do the important stuff. I'm going to focus on Theresa May and Iran, because these are the stories that may absolutely impact your life for decades to come. Not Theresa May, I meant Liz Truss. How many times am I going to say Maggie Thatcher instead? That's what happens when you have three Tory prime ministers and they're all conservative and the only women who've ever held the office. Yeah, that's going to happen. I'll be right back on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hey, everyone. This is Dwayne Patterson, producer of The Hugh Hewitt Show. I've known for a while now that there's been far too much of me here in the studio, and I finally needed to do something about my weight. My excuse was always that I couldn't follow a plan with the crazy schedule that I keep. I heard about PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and how they customize their program for each client, and I decided to call. This was no problem for Rachel and the PhD team. They had me map out what my day looks like and created a plan to follow. And so far, I've lost 16 pounds already, and I'm just 2 weeks in, on the way to my goal of losing 45. Call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition at 864-644-1900 and make your appointment for your consultation. The plan is simple. It's based on science and nutrition. There's no pills or injections, and they even include 80% of your food if you want it. Call them right now at 864-644-1900 or find them online at myphdweightloss.com and tell them you heard about it from Dwayne, the producer Hugh actually has on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Ron Johnson is the senator from Wisconsin. He's running for re-election. He joins me. Good morning, Senator Johnson. Welcome back.
Good morning, Hugh. Hope you're doing well.
I am. Karl Rove was my guest yesterday, and he characterized you as a happy warrior. And he implied that the race is going very well for you in Wisconsin against the very radical Mandela Barnes. Is Karl right?
Well, listen, I'm trying to be in a good mood. I understand what we're up against. And Hugh, you know what we're up against? We have a Democrat Party and radical left that only can conduct diversionary operations. They cannot talk about the results of their disastrous policies in the governance. They're not going to talk about 40-year high inflation. They can't address gasoline prices because they purposely drove them up. They can't talk about rising crime because their defund police movement and all their anti-law enforcement rhetoric is certainly fueling that crisis. They can't talk about the border because they opened it up, allowing a flood of illegal immigrants and deadly drugs. So all they have are diversions. So that's what President Biden's speech was about. That's what all the lies, distortions, the character assassinations against myself, the politics of personal destruction, that's all they have. I've got to believe the truth has its own power. I have to hope and pray that Wisconsinites just see through, the lies, the distortions, the fact that my opponent is in hiding. And he's taken a page right out of Biden's playbook, maybe not in the basement, but he will not talk to the press. He doesn't give interviews. He obviously is trying to make sure the Wisconsinites do not understand what a radical leftist he is.
So, Senator Johnson, one of those diversions is an attempt by the president to call MAGA Republicans semi-fascist, to imply that there's a threat to democracy when in fact there's a threat to Democratic incumbents. What percentage of Republicans are semi-fascist in your view, Ron Johnson?
Zero. Listen, I was on the platform when President Biden took his oath of office and gave his inaugural address. Eight times during that speech, he said his number one goal was to unify and heal this nation. He has done the exact opposite. And let's be honest. It is the left that is dividing this nation. It has always been the left that divides this nation. They want to concentrate on January 6th, which we all condemned, but they want to completely ignore and bury the 8,000 largely peaceful protests. But 570 of those things turned into riots, injured 2,000 law enforcement officers, $1 to $2 billion worth of property damage, a couple dozen people died in Kenosha, Wisconsin. My opponent certainly helped incite the riots when he said that what the police did with Jacob Blake was a vendetta. So, they want to ignore all of the violence, all of the rhetoric, all the extremism on their side and only concentrate on one day and take that day and turn all of the people supporting President Trump into potential domestic terrorists. I was always suspicious of how they came up with that thousands of armed insurrectionists immediately. It's a narrative they want to put forward. It's incredibly divisive. And from my standpoint, I want to help heal and unify this nation. That's what we need. Lincoln said, a house divided cannot stand. A divided America weakens America and emboldens our enemies. I think that's why Putin's invading in Ukraine, committing his atrocities and war crimes. So this divisiveness of Biden and the Democrats is very destructive to America. And I just have to hope and pray Americans and Wisconsinites open up their eyes and understand what's happening here.
Senator Johnson, I want to bring up the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article. Ron Johnson won't support same-sex marriage bill in its current form, says 2015 Supreme Court ruling was wrongly decided. I want my audience, though, to have this context. Stare Decisis matters a lot in the United States. Stare Decisis protects people of faith. Stare Decisis did not protect Roe and Dobbs for reasons explained by Justice Alito and previously in Citizens United by Chief Justice Roberts. But Obergefell, which made same-sex marriage the law of the land, and Loving from way back, which made interracial marriage the law of the land, are not in any jeopardy. Stare Decisis protects them. The court in Dobbs said so explicitly that no other decision was called into question. And yet there is an attempt to make Obergefell and Loving appear on sand ground, shaky foundation, because it serves the political agenda of the Democrats to alarm people. Yeah. It's not true. So what do you say? I would probably vote for this bill that's coming up, but I hate voting for a political bill that's a scare tactic.
Well, again, this is another diversionary tactic on the part of the left. They simply cannot let any wound remain healed. They've got to pick the scab, and they've got to continue to push these wedge issues. Listen, I always supported civil unions. I thought that would have been the reasonable solution for gay marriage, okay, or gay unions. But the Supreme Court ruled otherwise, called them gay marriages. Okay, fine. Let's move on. We've got much bigger problems facing this nation. And, because Justice Thomas said that it was wrongly decided, I don't know one way or the other, quite honestly. But it doesn't make any difference. That's my point. It will never be overturned for what you just said there. I mean, stare decisis protects decisions that if they were overturned would disrupt people's lives. I don't want to disrupt people's lives.
That's exactly right.
I want to move on.
Pretty good for a non-lawyer. Pretty good. If there are reliance interests in a decision, and there are none in Roe and Casey, despite what the left says, you cannot disturb that decision. There are huge reliance interests in Obergefell, which is why the lead dissenter in Obergefell, the Chief Justice with whom I agreed in his dissent, has said, as has all the other conservatives, we're not overturning Obergefell. It's done. It's finished. It's over. And so Chuck Schumer wants to bring this up. I would vote for it, Senator, because I want stare decisis to be firmed up everywhere, but I'd add religious liberty protection to make sure everyone understands the ministerial exception. Other things are in there. What's going to happen on this? Because clearly the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and members of the left think you're vulnerable on this issue.
Well, that just proves my point. This is simply a political weapon to be used against me. Now, I've already, expressed my very reasonable opinion on this. Initially, I said, I don't see a reason to oppose it. But then, again, I listened to people, and people have expressed some very legitimate concerns about religious liberty. Let's face it, the left, you give them an inch, they want to take 5,000 miles. And you can just imagine how they push this and push this and start initiating lawsuits against religious groups and religious institutions and religious individuals. And I think that's the slippery slope we need to protect ourselves against. So I think personally, we're probably better off just leaving Obergefell as it is and not passing anything at this point in time, quite honestly. We'll see what amendments might protect this. But, Hugh, this is a very complex issue. It's very difficult to game this out and figure out all the different permutations based on a law that may or may not protect religious liberty. So again, I actually listen to people. I take religious liberty very seriously. And as much as I don't want to disrupt people's lives, but they won't be disrupted. That is the whole point. This is completely unnecessary. This is the left opening up a wound that should just remain healed and we should be moving on, but they can't let sleeping dogs lie.
Note to people who are listening, Ryan Anderson, maybe the world's leading authority on the legal nature of marriage, and I have a disagreement over whether or not religious liberty is protected by the same-sex marriage statute. And so it's being discussed at very high level. It can't be rushed through the Senate. It just can't be. I probably would vote for it, but I loathe politicizing what isn't political. Senator Johnson, you were chair of Homeland Security. You did a very good job. You know about extremism in America. A story came out yesterday from an arm of the Anti-Defamation League telling us that there were 373 people named on Oath Keepers membership list serving in law enforcement. There are 900,000 law enforcement officers in the United States. It said there are 86 active firefighters on this Oath Keepers list. There are 1,080,000 firefighters. How big of a problem? And, you know, one extremist in a public agency is one too many, in my view, and cause for firing and separation. I'm sure you agree with that if they are pledged to the overthrow of the United States or any kind of violence. But how big of a problem is it really?
Listen, it's hard to say. Again, it depends on the individual, how extreme that individual is, whether that individual being signed up on that list really understands what the group may or may not stand for. So again, this is all about individual responsibility, individual rights, individuals' ability to associate with groups, you know, freedom of speech. Our Constitution protects an awful lot of behavior that maybe some of us don't particularly like or believe in, but it's protected nonetheless. And unless you act in, you know, an illegal fashion, your rights are protected.
Now, Senator, yesterday, this morning, the Post ran a story on Representative Jayapal being threatened by a man with a gun outside her house. Very compelling story. Earlier this week, a journalist in Las Vegas was murdered by an elected official who this journalist had exposed for malfeasance. And this guy, a 45-year-old elected official, shot and killed a journalist. These are very troubling times. There was an attempted assassination of a Supreme Court justice. Of course, you remember the attempt to kill half the Congress by a left-wing activist on the ball field. Americans really want to know. You were in the chair of this committee. Should they go to bed at night worrying about this, or should they be focused on inflation, crime, the border, Iran becoming a nuclear superpower, Xi and Putin getting together? What matters most?
Well, listen, I think those massive problems are the biggest ones. I mean, the fact that a dollar that you held at the beginning of the Biden administration is now worth 88.3 cents.
Wow.
That the Democrats are purposely driving up the cost of energy. I don't downplay the individual threats to our security. This does not seem as safe a nation as it was when I was growing up. There's no doubt about it. It's why I so hate the divisiveness, why I so hate the anger, why I embraced President Biden's goal of unifying and healing this nation, and why I'm so depressed that he's done the exact opposite. So, you know, my message to Wisconsinites is, if you love this country, I think most people do. I don't think their leaders who want to fundamentally transform this nation do, but I think they do. So if you love this nation, if you're concerned about its future, and 75 to 80% are saying we're on the wrong track, but if you love this nation and concerned about its future, join us. Join us in unifying and healing and saving this nation. That's what we need to do.
Karl Rove yesterday agreed with you that Mandela Barnes, I think he agreed with you that Mandela Barnes is to the left of John Fetterman. Mandela Barnes is also in his own trouble. Let me play a clip for you yesterday from ABC 12 in Milwaukee. Here's Mandela Barnes explaining why he couldn't join the president of the United States in his own backyard. Cut number 7.
You met with labor workers in union yesterday. You also did not appear with the president yesterday. Why was that?
Well, we had a pre-packed schedule, had to get around the state. I'm really grateful that the president has shown his support for the labor movement here in Wisconsin.
Okay, Ron Johnson, when you ditch the president is radioactive. What does that tell you about Mandela Barnes and Joe Biden?
Well, again, he can't defend, nor can Biden defend their policies, so all they can do is lie, distort, and assassinate my character in my campaign. But again, I think that was one of three questions he's answered in about the last month? And it really wasn't that hard a question, was it? They're not asking him, do you think there should be any restrictions on abortion?
Yes.
They ought to be asking him the hard question. What would you do to solve inflation? I mean, you've been for all this massive spending that caused inflation. You know, you're supportive of the Green New Deal. I mean, that's what's driving purposefully up the cost of gas. You still support that? I mean, those are the questions they should be asking, but they don't have access to him because the guy is in hiding.
I would love to ask him how many semi-fascists are in the Republican Party. You said 0%. I probably would say a statistically insignificant percentage, because there's going to be some. But they won't even ask him the question, or will they ask him the question about that face plant in Philly by Joe Biden, the red setting speech, What did you make of that speech, Senator Johnson?
Oh, it was horrible. I've never seen a president give a more divisive speech. And Hugh, I was rounding up. Okay, I agree with you. It's an impossible number. There are, of course, some. But I was rounding up, and it's basically zero. But no, that was the most divisive speech I've ever heard a U.S. president give. But that's what they've been doing since the start of the Trump administration. They have been dividing this country. They've been dividing it for decades, but they've really put it into hyperdrive now because they want power. They crave power. I don't understand it, but that's what the left wants. They want power over your life. They want to control everything.
Last question for you, Senator Johnson. In the week before the election of 2020, the ABC Washington Post poll said President Trump was losing to Joe Biden by 17 points in Wisconsin. Joe Biden won by 0.6%. Why does anyone believe anything about any poll in Wisconsin? I mean, good or bad? Why? I mean, obviously, a state cannot be polled.
Well, or the polls are distorted to dispirit voters and try and, you know, certainly deter my supporters from donating. By the way, it's Ron Johns from Senate.com. Spent over $50 million. I'm going to need help to counter all the lies and distortions. But again, I think it's all about trying to impact the election.
Ron Johnson, FOR Senate.com. Senator Johnson, keep coming back. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Have a great day.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Some breaking news. Memphis police say 4 people have been killed, 3 injured over at least 8 locations around Memphis during a shooting spree yesterday. The suspect is in custody after allegedly shooting multiple people while live streaming himself online. What a horrific story. More details if they emerge as the show continues. I'm joined now by United States Senator Tom Cotton. Good morning, Senator Cotton. That's a pretty horrific lead-in. I'm sorry, but that's the breaking news. Is Senator Cotton there?
Hugh.
Oh, there you are. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be on with you. That is horrific news out of Memphis. Unfortunately, Memphis has dealt with the crime problem for many years. The people of that city deserve much better from their elected leaders. But the news out of Memphis just in the last few days is terrible, from the Eliza Fletcher murder to this murder spree last night. Unfortunately, it's not all that unusual in America today. You can look to any big city and you see crime is running wild and you have largest increase in murder rates on history. Remember, this is all the direct result of specific choices by Democratic politicians in these cities or in their state houses or in Washington to go soft on crime, to reduce criminals, to let them out of prison, to eliminate bail system. This is a natural result of the Democratic Party's policies.
Now, I want to ask you to distinguish, if you want to, between crime and violence and political crime. Representative Jayapal threatened by a man with a gun outside of her house. Washington Post story this morning. A journalist in Nevada murdered by an elected official that he exposed for malfeasance. The Iranians are running around the United States trying to kill Americans. And now we have a guy live streaming, I assume it's a guy live streaming himself doing murder in Memphis on top of the crime statistic. Is it all one problem or is it many problems, Senator?
Well, it's many different problems. There are a lot of different sources for the crime. But the simplest way to combat all different types of crime is to be tough on crime, to fund the police, to give them the resources they need to arrest criminals, to keep them in jail when they're violent, while they're pending trial, and to throw the book at them once they're convicted, to give them sentences that are certain and swift and long, and is going to deter criminals from taking those actions, or at least incapacitate them by keeping them off the streets. This is not a mystery. We've gone through periods like this before, and the people rise up and demand politicians, like, for instance, you got in New York City in the 1990s with Rudy Giuliani, will once again make it safe to walk down the streets with your wife or your children, which it no longer is in so many cities in America. But again, look at this is not an extreme view in the Democratic Party view. It's extreme to most Americans, but it's not extreme in the views of the Democratic Party. Mandela Barnes, the Democratic nominee for Senate in Wisconsin, proposed to eliminate the bail system so criminals could immediately get back on the streets after they were arrested and start committing more crimes, perhaps maybe intimidating the witnesses for their prior crimes. John Fetterman in Pennsylvania was asked, what's the one thing you'd do? If you could wave a magic wand, what would you do? It wasn't to stop the opioid epidemic that's ravaging Pennsylvania. It wasn't to bring down the price of groceries for folks in Allentown. It wasn't even to get the Steelers or the Eagles back to the Super Bowl. The one thing he would do if John Fetterman could wave a magic wand was to shorten sentences for murderers.
And that's pretty stunning.
Everywhere.
Now, Senator, that's a serious issue. Crime, inflation, the Iran deal, Putin going to see Xi. There are lots of Liz Truss appearing as PM is a big news issue that's getting very little attention. Japan building 20,000-ton ships, a big story. But I want to dial into the story Chuck Schumer wants to be the story. And it might be a strategic error on my part, but I want people to understand. I asked Ron Johnson about this. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headline today, Ron Johnson won't support same-sex marriage bill in its current form, says 2015 Supreme Court ruling was wrongly decided. Now, I would probably vote for this bill almost certainly if it wasn't election season, because I believe in stare decisis. I believe you can distinguish Roe and Casey, which need to be overturned, from Obergefell and Loving, which shouldn't be overturned. And I think religious liberty benefits from codifying those two bills. But there's an argument on the right about that, and it's very complicated. That's not what Chuck Schumer is bringing this bill up. Rob Portman and Susan Collins might have the best of intentions, and there might be a bipartisan group. But I'm deterred a little bit by Schumer exploiting a political season to – it's not an issue. There is no threat to Obergefell or Loving. What do you think about this process, and what will you do on this bill?
Well, no, there's no threat to it, Hugh, because on the one hand, the Loving matter, that is a straightforward equal protection case. States cannot discriminate on the basis of race in any setting. And second, as the Supreme Court majority made clear in Dobbs, one of the key questions for whether to overturn a precedent is the degree of reliance interests. There's almost no reliance interest on Roe, or reliance interest at most for a few weeks at the beginning of pregnancy. But obviously now there's significant reliance interest, as the Supreme Court said, since states now recognize gay marriage and there are many thousands of couples who have been married. But I would also say, Hugh, that the bill that came out of the House is not simply a gay marriage bill. It's a polygamous marriage bill. It's specifically drafted to force the federal government to acknowledge polygamous marriages if any state or any city wants to do so. And people may say that's far-fetched or it's unlikely. Those are probably the same people who were saying 10 years ago that we would never have mandatory drag queen story hour in public libraries and schools. And most fundamentally, Hugh, since when is it the business of the federal government to be involved in family law and domestic relations? You know, like I know, like anyone who's been through law school knows, that family law and domestic relations is the province of our state governments within the constraints of things like the Equal Protection Clause and Supreme Court precedent. We should not go down the road of getting legislatively involved in family and domestic relations law in the Congress, because that'll end up in some very, very treacherous territory if the Democrats are ever in charge again.
So Chuck Schumer is clearly trying to save a Democratic Party that has, I mean, they've done pratfall after pratfall. There was a faceplant in Philly. The student loan bailout is a nightmare. The semi-fascist thing just antagonized millions of Americans who are very ticked off about that. Inflation, crime, the border. So he's trying to create a new issue. Will you get 10 votes to go along with that ruse?
I don't know, Hugh. You mentioned Rob Portman and Susan Collins, whom I respect immensely. And I like a lot. I disagree with them on this one specific issue. I do know they're trying to address some concerns that Republicans have about the polygamous marriage issue, as well as religious freedom for faith-based organizations and churches, synagogues, and so forth. I don't know what the state of those negotiations are, and I think that'll influence whether or not Chuck Schumer can bring a bill like this to the floor and get 10 votes.
All right, let me switch, because the other breaking news at this hour is that doctors have been summoned to Balmoral Castle. There are early reports they're deeply concerned about the health of the Queen, who just this week welcomed her 15th Prime Minister, Liz Truss. And I can't speculate about what's going on with the Queen. We pray for her health. Of course, she's a great lady. But I can't talk a little bit about Liz Truss and The world isn't. But she looks to me and sounds to me like she, each British prime minister of the last four has been more conservative, from David Cameron to Theresa May to Boris Johnson to Liz Truss. She might be the real deal, Senator Cotton. What do you think from afar?
Well, first off, what can you say about Queen Elizabeth but that she's one of the greats of all time? I mean, this woman has served, since the times of Churchill, and now it's 2022. She's seen her nation through many, many challenges, and we wish her all the best, and we pray deeply for her full health and long life. We also wish Liz Truss all the best and pray for her success. America, it is stronger when our friends in Great Britain are safe and free and prosperous. She has a lot of challenges. They've got record inflation there as well. Their energy situation is even worse than ours. They're still dealing with a bunch of nosy, bossy bureaucrats from Brussels trying to unwind Brexit. We hope that they can conquer all those problems, because America is always stronger when Great Britain is a free, safe, prosperous partner.
Now, last is the IAEA, which has announced basically they can't guarantee that Iran's not looking for a nuclear weapon, which is not news to any Israeli or any serious American. But we continue to negotiate with them, Senator Cotton. I was told yesterday that Team Biden is attempting to control future Congresses doing away with this by creating triggers on us if we breach the... It's the most unconstitutional thing. Have you been read on this?
No, not only have I not, I don't think any Democrats have either. They can do whatever they want in terms of trying to create these mechanisms the Ayatollahs are demanding. The bottom line is a future president can walk away from this deal just like Donald Trump did, although he should have a little bit earlier. And maybe we were brought the Ayatollahs to their knees by the end of 2020. But no president through his own unilateral action can tie the hands of a future Congress or give assurances to foreign countries that a subsequent president won't take action or immunize companies that want to rush in and do business with the Ayatollahs. So this is all largely just spin and PR to try to convince the Ayatollahs to go in this deal. At a time, to get back to where we started with you, they are trying to assassinate Americans on American soil. And they almost did with Salman Rushdie. Think about that.
Yeah. Okay, last question.
As the Ayatollahs, just we quit assassinating Americans so we can have this deal. And their response is, can't do it for you, sorry.
And the Biden administration stays at the table, talking to the Russians, talking to the Iran. It's incredible. I want to close on politics. I've done this in the right order. Breaking news, serious stories, constitutional stories, international stories, now political stories. Karl Rove is optimistic. Adam Laxalt's going to win in Nevada. That's +1. I think J.D.'s going to hold Ohio very easily. I think Herschel's going to win. I'm not sure about Arizona. It's going to be close. I don't think Ron Johnson's in any trouble, though the poll says he is. And I think Dr. Oz is coming back. But you're out there campaigning for these people. What do you think?
I'm very optimistic as well, Hugh. We need a lot of help. We need your listeners to get online today and give a little bit of money to people like Ron Johnson and Mehmet Oz and Herschel Walker and J.D. Vance and Tiffany Smiley. The Democrats are massively outspending the Republicans, but that's typical. We got massively outspent in 2020, yet we still pulled out so many tough races like Joni Ernst in Iowa or Steve Daines in Montana, because the American people are sick and tired of having to make a choice between filling up their tank all the way or paying for their groceries, of not being able to take their kids to a park because of homeless and drug addicts in the park, of looking at our border and seeing that thousands of people are crossing every single day with no consequences. Joe Biden can give as many deranged speeches in front of bad lighting as he wants to try to attack Republicans as a threat to democracy. The best response to that is to elect more Republicans so we can take control in Washington and put the brakes on the Biden agenda and begin to demand some accountability.
Senator Tom Cotton, always great to talk to you. Thank you, Senator. Good luck in your campaign. That guy's out there working hard. Thank you, Tom. It is a hard, if you're going to be a team player, you got to do, RN set the standard in 1964 and 1966. Okay, so Richard Nixon loses the presidency in 1960. He loses the governorship of California, gives the famous last press conference, which was far from being his last press conference. And then he goes to work. Goes to work for Barry Goldwater. Wasn't really sure about the Goldwater nomination, but as he said to me and to many people, you can't win without the Goldwater voters, but you can't win with just them. But he did the good Republican thing. He's a man of the party, which I am. I'm a party guy. And I believe in political parties. They are great stabilizing influences and have been since, 1800. And we need them. We need them to be strong. They change over time. We need them to be strong. The second deal is, though, Nixon showed up in 66, the off year, everywhere, everywhere. So if you want to be the nominee in 2024, you got to go everywhere in 2022. America, Eli Crane is going to be a congressman from Arizona come January of next year. It's got the easiest website in the world to remember, Eli for Arizona.com, E-L-I for Arizona.com. Welcome, Eli. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Hewitt. I appreciate it.
You know, all you SEALs always call me Mr. Hewitt. It makes me feel so doggone old. And my nephew, who's a SEAL, doesn't call me Mr. Hewitt. So I hope you'd stop that. I'm a Navy family. Just call me Hugh. Eli, tell us about Arizona 2nd. Would you? I want to know where we're talking to, because I'm on in Prescott, Phoenix, and Tucson. I want to know where the 2nd is.
Yeah, thanks, Hugh. It's the largest geographical district in Arizona. It's very rural. It's got Flagstaff, Sedona, Prescott, all the way up to the Grand Canyon, all the way over to the Four Corners. Got Pine Top, Sholo, comes all the way down south to Phoenix as well. You've got Florence in it in Pinal County. So it's larger than the state of Georgia. We have a lot of really hardworking Arizonans that live there, ranchers, farmers, et cetera, and they're pretty concerned about the direction this country's headed in.
As I mentioned, I got a son who's a Navy intelligence officer, a son-in-law is a fighter pilot in the Navy, and then a SEAL nephew. They are all very concerned about the military and how it's being led and where the money is, and they don't ever do politics, and you didn't do politics when you're in uniform, but you're doing politics now. What is the state of our military, Eli Crane?
Well, I think the state of our military, I think we still have a lot of great folks in the military. I know we have a lot of great equipment, but I'm very concerned about our leadership, concerned about our leadership across the country. You can have the best soldiers, the best equipment in the world, but if you have poor leadership that are more concerned about critical race theory, you know, and social experimentation, it doesn't matter, you know, who the people you have or what type of equipment you have. If you start tangling with, you know, adversaries like China and others around the world, I think we're going to be in trouble just because our leadership, you know, seems to have its focus in the wrong areas.
So Eli, you were a successful businessman after you got out of the SEALs. Why leave that and go to Congress? Because it's a big life change and you've earned your rest and you've got a great business.
You know, Hugh, if I had to boil it down into one word, that word would be concern. I'm very concerned about where I see things headed. I'm concerned that my two children are not going to grow up with the same amounts of freedom and opportunity that you and I have. And I believe that it's inherent that our generation steps up, recognizes the threat. And in my opinion, that threat is right here within. A house divided cannot stand, and I do believe there's a lot of people that are trying to divide us up right now. A lot of that division is based on ethnicities, culture, stems from cultural Marxism. That's exactly what it's designed to do, and I think we just need better representation, better leadership to help turn this country back around.
You know, I had Jen Kiggins on yesterday. I'm trying to get on every veteran in a competitive district because I want people to know where their money is well spent. That's an enormous district. I mean, that's a vast district. People have to understand how far that is. How are you allocating resources, and are the resources coming in at Eli for Arizona?
Well, sir, the way that we're allocating our resources is we're trying to make sure that this is one of those districts that's really tough to door knock around. So we're trying to make sure that we have the resources necessary to run the television ads, commercial ads, et cetera. I think that's, you know, the best way for us to tell this great story that we have and ultimately defeat Tom O'Halloran, who is a three-term Democrat. He's also been ranked the most vulnerable Democrat in the country. But if any of your listeners are as concerned as I am about the direction of this country, they can go to eli4arizona.com and help us out there.
Hey, give a little background, Eli, if you will, about your service in the Navy, because a lot of people who are Navy want to step up and help Navy veterans. That's happened with and Marines. I mean, it just is. It's a deal. I've been doing this long enough to know that veterans want to help out veterans. When did you serve? What did you do?
Yeah, thank you, Hugh. I actually joined the week after 9/11, dropped out of school my senior year in college to do that, and tried out for the SEAL teams. Did not make it through my first time. Had to go out to the fleet for 2.5 years. Spent a couple of years on USS Gettysburg, then got an opportunity to come back through SEAL training, went immediately to SEAL Team 3, did one deployment overseas to Iraq, came back, got thrown into Chris Kyle's platoon, the American sniper, did about 2 years with Chris, and then came back and did one more pump at SEAL Team 3. And after that, I went and did some instructional duty while me and my wife also started our business out of our one-car garage in Point Loma, San Diego at the same time and started raising our family. So
that is a great American story. I want people to help out. Eli for Arizona.com. Last quick question, Eli. The border. No state has been more impacted than Arizona. Do you hear about it wherever you go?
I absolutely do, sir. It is a disaster. I do believe it's an invasion. I believe that every country on the face of the earth has the right to have its own sovereignty. And I know that a lot of Americans are compassionate towards other people. I totally get that. I feel compassion myself, but at the same time, it's a massive national security issue. It's an issue in so many other sectors. You've got sex trafficking coming over that border, crime coming over that border, drugs, everything. We need to close that border up.
A great last point. Eli for Arizona.com. Go and help him out. Eli Crane. Eli for Arizona.com. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Breaking news. We continue to watch Balmoral Castle and pray for the Queen of England, who's apparently fallen ill. And so we'll keep you posted on that. Juan Ciscomani is going to be representing Arizona's 6th Congressional District come January. I have been on the air on KBOI for 23 years in Tucson. I care a lot about Tucson. Juan, you're running to represent Tucson. Welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Hugh, for the invitation. Happy to be on.
Let's get your website out there first if people are inspired and they want to help you.
You got it. It's JuanCiscomani.com. It's JuanCiscomani.com.
I've tweeted it out. People can find it. Juan, tell people why you are a unique Republican candidate.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I grew up here in Tucson. Now, I wasn't born in Tucson, and I think that's one of the things that makes our candidacy unique and the perspective that I have on the issues. I was actually born in Mexico and came over with my family when I was a young boy. My parents brought us here to Tucson, and this is where I grew up. Went up the public school system, then the community college, and then the University of Arizona, the U of A. So I'm a Wildcat. And my dad has been driving a bus since I can remember, first for the school district and now for the city of Tucson. And I learned from him the value of hard work and earning it. And as he told me, the best way to describe it is right before I launched a campaign, he said, Juan, where else could we have our story? We come to the country, we immerse in the culture, we learn English. He said, we become U.S. citizens. I drive a bus my whole life, he said, and my son has a shot at becoming a member of the United States Congress. So where else in the world could this be? And the answer is nowhere else. I feel like I'm living the American dream, but I also feel like I'm earning the American dream every day by working for it. Now I have 6 kids, married to Laura, my wife, who's also a first-generation American, born in California, and the first woman in her family to attend college, and she went on the full academic ride to Stanford. So we're both living the American dream, and in a way that is unique, and that helps our perspective of why we're doing what we do.
Boy, that threatens Democrats, Juan Ciscomani, because they can't have you win. It's just not acceptable. So they've nominated a sort of standard issue lefty, a law school dean. I mean, it's like almost a cartoon. When they need someone, they go to the local law school and they find a bureaucrat and they bring her out. And she's a state senator as well, but she's way to the left, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She's way to the left. And obviously, they're, you know, it's a clear distinction of where we stand, not only on our background, but on the issues today and where she stands. And we continue to fight. We continue to go after voters. This is a district that is right about a third independent. So Republicans do edge Democrats in this district, an R+2. But really, who's going to determine this is going to be the independents. And it's going after them and sticking to the issues. That's what helped us win a primary, a 5-way primary that we won decisively. And we're sticking to the same strategy in the general. It's about the issues. It's about the economy. It's about protecting the border. It's about the issues that are impacting people in everyday lives.
Is the U of A your alma mater in the district, Juan?
It's not. No, it's carved out.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about money, because Democrats are pouring millions of dollars into your opponent's campaign. How are you doing at JuanCiscomani.com?
You know, we're doing well. We've broken records here in Tucson in fundraising, especially around the primary. But now that it's general season, the Democrats are pouring in a ton of money. We saw a report that our opponent is going up on the air today And they're going to continue to do that. Pelosi has already bought through her super PAC or secured almost $1 million of TV time. So they're going to fight for this district. It's currently a blue district. This is where the current congresswoman that's retiring is a Democrat, and it's an open seat. So we've got a great opportunity to take it. There's a lot of momentum behind our campaign, and we have support nationally as well, as I've been endorsed by Leader McCarthy and many other national figures also. And that's where we're standing. So we're pushing hard on the fundraising front. We're going to win this battle on every front, and you know, including, I believe, in the fundraising. And it's not only how much you raise, but it's how you use it. And we're very wise, strategic, and disciplined in our use of the resources. And again, we're going to be aggressive on TV and on the air as well, and with the help of everyone really around the country, because this is a seat that has national implications. It's probably one of the top five most competitive seats in the country. With the makeup of the voters. And by winning this seat, we're going to help win the majority and secure that we get in the right direction.
Last question. Are you taking the fight to Spanish language media?
I am. Great question. So we launched our first ad 2 weeks ago in English and in Spanish as well. Me being the voice of both. I actually am very encouraged about challenging my opponent to a debate in Spanish, Hugh. And you're going to see the Democrat needing a translator and the Republican not needing a translator, because we need to reach everyone in this district in Spanish and in English. And I think around the country, it's a strategy that will work. The Hispanic community is tired of the policies of the left that have not worked, especially when you talk about working class families that are trying to make ends meet and things just going up and up in price. This is exactly our opportunity, and I'm taking full advantage of it.
Juan Ciscomani, keep coming back. If you are a small donor out there and you want to make your donor felt, go to JuanCiscomani.com. He is truly among the top five wants. The Republicans want that district, Tucson and its areas. Future Congressman Ciscomani, thank you for joining me. Hey, America, pray for the Queen. I'll update you on her condition tomorrow. Hopefully she gets better. She's been down before and she's rallied. So I'm hoping she rallies now. She just welcomed her 15th prime minister at Balmoral. And I just hope it's a fall cold. Stay tuned, America, to this great radio station. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Jacob. Thanks, all of you, for listening to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.